Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you on this blessed Tuesday. This is Brother Nate with Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast on the broadcast. Thanking God for all of you that are listening and for all who are listening here in the United States. Welcome to all of you that are listening in Canada and France. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Japan, Spain, Ireland, the Netherlands, the United Kingdom, and every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast. I want to welcome you to Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I'll pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I will do my best in the Lord to answer for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes of comments. And if you are calling to obtain information on how to get a copy of the messages, I will get that to you as well. And for those of you who are don't want to give the prayer request or to ask the question over the air, contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get that information to you as well. So without further ado, for those of you that's listening, won't you join in with me in prayer? Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you once again for this blessed day in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come together once again in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And dear Lord, I ask today, Lord God, that you will bless me to give your word in a way that will be pleasing unto you, that you may be able to work through this seed that I will plant, that you may water and bring forth the increase. I pray that every soul, every heart that is listening to this broadcast will be enlightened by your spirit as the word is given today. So, Father, I thank you. Lord, I magnify you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Today, we are on part three of the Midnight Cry Restitution Restoration, as we had done last Tuesday, part two. Tuesdays thus far is dedicated to this part of the broadcast of the lesson. And we are dealing with part three today. Amen. Excuse me, Del. So we're going to part three today. Part two, we took a look at this work. In fact, I want to open up with a scripture from one of the books of God's word called the Word of the Lord. This is the witness of the angel of the Lord sent by Jesus Christ. And I want to read a verse out of what is called the 12th message, which is the 12th time that Jesus has sent his angel. Amen. And there is 13 verses in this message. He sent this message out July 18, 1929. And I want to read the fourth verse in this message, and it says, "Behold, the Lord has rejected all creeds and factions of men who have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight. Therefore, let those that come to the church of Christ be baptized, that they may rid themselves of the traditions and sins of men, preparing themselves that they may be fit and worthy for the spirit and power of the Holy Ghost. And as the greater power shall come, that they may be ready to receive it with joy. But this is the time of the restitution and restoration of all things. This must come to all that shall be permitted to dwell in the presence of Christ, for sin cannot receive the glory of God nor the power of the Holy Spirit." So on this part of the lesson, we have been discussing the work of the Lord in these last days that he calls the restitution and restoration of all things. And in part two, we started looking at concerning the things that must be restored. And what we looked at is to start getting an understanding. You know, some may ask, well, if he's talking about the restitution and restoration of all things, what are the things? And so for us to start on the road to understanding, the first thing we had to look at was define what does the word thing mean. And according to Webster, Webster had quite a few definitions of the word thing, and I gave four of them to you. Amen. And as I said to you, all four of them does apply, dealing with deeds, person, events and acts, possessions. Amen. Glory be to God. And so we looked at that, and we had come to understand that when something has to be restored or restitution, that means there was either a loss suffered or something was stolen or taken, okay? And when there's a restitution or restoration process that must take place. And so now we're continuing with part three today. I just opened up a scripture to you from what is called the 12th message. And so if you have your Bibles, let us go to the book of Matthew, chapter 17. The book of Matthew, chapter 17 in your Bibles. Amen. The book of Matthew, chapter 17. And I say to all of you, no matter what is the title or the message of the broadcast, I'm always going to point you to Jesus Christ. Now, I do understand that perhaps some of you is not going to go to Jesus about anything. Maybe you're just curious and you're listening along. And to that I say, may the Lord have mercy on you. Then there will be others of you who are listening who I believe honestly is truly going to take what you've heard to Christ. If you ain't got a witness right then, you're going to take what you heard to Christ because you are into the things of God. Okay? And you're going to go to Christ with it. And some of you may be in between and indecisive, and you're saying, well, I don't want to say yay or nay. Well, I still encourage you to take it to Christ. Amen. Glory be to God. Now, Matthew chapter 17, verse 11, the word said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Amen. Now, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 3. The book of Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 20 and 21. The book of Acts chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Amen. And I'm going to read one more verse 22. Acts chapter 3, verse 20, 21, and 22. And the word of God says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of the restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. We looked at, I read to you a scripture from one of God's books called The Word of the Lord, The Witness of the Angel of the Lord to the Work of the Lord in these last days, where he brought them, has been bringing the message from Christ, which tells us that the work that is going on these last days is referred to as the restitution, restoration of all things. And now we just look at two more witnesses from the Bible, the book of God's word, from Matthew, who records that Christ himself speaks of Elijah, who is to come to restore all things. And then we hear in the book of Acts, Peter, as he got speaking to the men of Israel, says that the heavens must receive Christ until the times of the restitution of all things. Okay? So, one of the things that, or one of the questions that God is answering that is of his people from the things that you're seeing going on today among Christianity that is disheartening, that is disturbing, that is saddening, some degree maybe depressing, and in other all rights make you upset. And you're seeing the division, the separation, and contention which is going on among those who are proclaiming Christianity. And you're wondering to yourself, what is God doing about it? Or is he going to do anything about it? And you see the separation that is all on Christianity today. We have so many names, denominational names, and some of you that is really into the things of God is starting to wonder, what is God going to, is he going to do anything about this? Is this the way things are going to be or should be? And the answer to it is no. And the Lord is letting you know he's doing a work of restitution and restoration of all things. Now, as I said from part two, on the road to understanding what are the things that is to be restored or restitute. And one of the first things we did was define the word thing. And we had to define it from Webster because when you look at these scriptures and look at the word thing, there was no Greek word for it, okay? So we went to Webster and we gathered four out of, I think Webster had 10 definitions of the word thing. And I gave you four because all of them would apply in this work of restitution, restoration of all things. Things is dealing with a person or individual. Pluralize it will be people. It is also dealing with acts or deeds. It is dealing with possessions and events, okay? And so now we started on the road to understanding the all things because the question is, what are the things that has to be restored, okay? Now, as we travel a little deeper, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 8. And we're still on the road to understanding what are the things that has to be restored and restituted. What are the things that God has to bring back to its former condition? What are the things that God has to bring back into existence or use? What are the things that God must put again in possession of? What are these things? Amen. Now, Mark chapter 8, verse 32 and verse 33, and verse 33 will be our key verse. And the word of God says, and he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now, he was talking about Peter calling himself rebuking Jesus, because Jesus had told him that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And so Peter takes him to the side and calls himself rebuking the Lord, okay, Jesus Christ. And so in verse 33, it says, but when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, talking about Jesus, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. Amen. Now, we noted from the two previous verses in the other chapters, Matthew 17 and Acts 3, that in both verses it mentions a all things. Like he said, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. The heavens must receive Christ unto the time for the restitution of all things. Okay? And we see here in this verse that we read that there are things that be of God and there are things that be of man. You understand that? Because this is what Jesus said here. Get behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Okay? So there are things that be of God and there's things that be of man. Amen? Now, keeping that in mind, let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, okay? Matthew chapter 4. And here Jesus is in the wilderness and he's being tempted by Satan. And Satan is bringing you know, so many, he's trying to basically trying to cause Jesus to fall, trying to get him to step out of the way and will of the Father, trying to get him to worship him, you name it. And when we go to verse 8 and 9, the word of God says, again, the devil taking him up into exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now here we see that there are some things that come directly from the devil. Okay? See, some people think that all the so-called good things come from God. You know, like I gave an example one time, like I remember when I was growing up and I look at different R&B singers and rappers and all that. And some of you may remember, if you're around my age, remember when they had the Soul Train Awards and these different program awards for singers, and they would win these trophies and Grammys and all this stuff, and how that, you know, they would be, these singers make these bad, evil songs, but it sells a lot of copies, and they become very popular and all this, with the type of music they make. You know, give you an example like Prince. We know that the biggest of his music was satanic, okay? Now, I know some of y'all get offended when I say that, but it's true. Even his videos, you can sense the sin and the evil and the presence in many of his music videos. Well, when you will see some of these artists get up there and they win an award for a song that, you know, is, you know, filthy, you know, and sexually explicit and all this stuff. And especially these rappers who make any different kind of rap songs and stuff like that, especially these evil satanic rap songs and deep songs, they would get up there behind the podium and say, well, I would like to thank God, you know, thank my God for the and people be like, ooh, he thanked God. But my question is, what kind of God you think? What God are you talking about that gave you success on a sinful record? That ain't come from the Lord. You know, whether you believe it or not, many, many, many of these singers who have this success in making these lustful, evil, satanic songs have sold themselves to Satan. Amen. And some of you turn around and say, oh, God is blessing them. Everything that appears to look good does not come from God. Now, all good things come from God. But notice I say everything that appears to look good. Okay? All that don't come from God. As you see, Satan, the Bible said, he took Jesus on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory. And he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Well, you know, some would say, well, Satan was lying. He didn't have that to give. Oh, yes, he did. If he was lying, Jesus would have called him out. Because remember, he ended up getting this kind of dominion because Adam sinned. He sold out to Satan, okay? So there are things that be of the devil, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, thank you, Jesus. I want to read a scripture to you that comes from one of God's book called The Word of the Lord. And this is the witness of the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing the words of Christ to mankind. He is bringing Christ's words as he comes from directly from the throne of God, and what is referred to as the 91st message. He sent it out July the 15th, 1972. July the 15th, 1972. And this message has approximately 49 verses, but I'm going to read one of the verses out of here that is referred to as the 24th verse. Now, I want you to listen to this closely. And this is what he says. He said, if it be of God, and notice that's the first few words he said in this verse, If it be of God and by the Spirit speak of knowledge, it will calm the soul. So it's going to do that which is right and peaceful. When man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he that speaketh shall know what he saith, else he speaketh in vain. The vain sputtering and babblings of the lips of man is from the mind of man or Satan, and seeketh to deceive. It is the spirit of the divination, though it acteth in pretension for truth. It is deception. Where has it led them? Has it brought them to this work? Yea, to only be slower to hear the truth when it comes. Now, notice he said, if it be of God. Now, we saw in the Bible, the witness from the Bible, the witnesses that Jesus Christ said that there are things that be of God and things that be of man. So here, the message of the Lord is witnessing that there are things that be of God. And he said, if it be of God, and by the Spirit speak of knowledge, it will calm the soul. So everything is not of God, people. Amen. Everything's not of God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, once again, there's things that be of God and things that be of man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And notice that he said the vain sputtering and babbling of the lips of man is from the mind of man or Satan. So here he's telling there's some things that is of man, and there's things that's of Satan. Got these three right here. So there are things that be of God, things that be of man, and things that be of Satan. Okay? Amen. You still with me here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want to read another verse, and this is out of another one of God's book called The Record of Nephi, The Witness of the Nephites. And one of the witnesses in this Record of Nephi, it comes from the book of Moroni, okay? Seventh chapter, book of Moroni, seventh chapter, amen? The book of Moroni, seventh chapter, amen? And the word of God says, wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy to God, and fighteth against him continually, and inviteth and enticeth to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. So here we have another witness, once again, that there are things that be of God, and things that be of the devil. There's things that be of man, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. We want to understand that before we go any further, because we're talking about what are the all things. What is the things that is going to be restored? Amen. Hallelujah. And see, we're speaking on it on this point right here. Once again, we have to know how to judge. Now, get yourself together, because I use the word judge because, you know, right now among Christianity, it seems as though when the word judge come up, people get all upset. Oh, we got people judging each other. You can't judge me. We get all messed up and we shaking and upset, okay? You can judge a thing according to the light of God's word, not under your own judgment or judge according to the appearance of the flesh, but under the word of God, you can. And see, one of the problems that we're having among Christianity in the body of Christ is that we have not been able to, we have fallen short of properly judging something that is of God and that which is of the devil, okay? So you have people calling something that is of God evil and call something that's evil of God, okay? Or call it something that's a man of God, okay? For example, let's talk about dreams for a minute. There are some dreams. God gives dreams. The Bible, the Word of God, all that supports that. But also the devil. Okay, he gives dreams. And then there are soulless dreams, that dreams that come from within us or something going on within us. Okay? And sometimes we as people have a hard time deciphering what is from what. Now, don't get me wrong, sometimes certain dreams may be just 100% straight up obvious where it comes from. But
for the most part, sometimes we have a bad case of deciphering. And not to say that we know everything, but many times people won't go to the source to get to the cipher. In other words, one of the places that many people won't turn to the Word of God, they won't search it up to see what the Word of God has to say to help us, to show us whether something comes from God or not, okay? So we have that big problem deciphering things that come from God. And this is why you got some Christians that's calling stuff that's evil of God, okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Just like, for example, I gave you about the singers and stuff. And you see where in 4th chapter of Matthew, where Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms and the glory and said, I will give this to you. Well, like I said, some Christian would look at that and say he was lying because he's a liar. But now if he was lying, Jesus would expose him. Jesus would tell him, would say, you can't give nothing. But see, Jesus didn't say that. And Satan, the reason why Satan had that dominion is because of what Adam did. Treason. Okay? And he sold out to the enemy. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. So we definitely want to understand that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I want to go into the Word of God here, because we see here that even more, we see here that the Lord talks about the restitution and restoration of all things. Okay. Now, one of the parts, you know, and we looked at Mark, and let's go off of Mark 8 and 33 for a minute here, where the Lord told Satan, get thee behind me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. So the first thing we want to look at to understand what is the all things that must be restored, we must look at what says the ending of God. We're going to look at some of the things that says of God, because remember, Jesus said there are things that be of God. So we know that for the first part, first most, that what the things that's going to be restored is going to be the things that be of God. So let's go to the Bible and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to look at verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, okay? Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now look what the Word of God says. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So here in the verse here, we see the of God is talking about the kingdom. So when we look at what he says, the restitution and restoring of all things, one of the things that has to be restored is the kingdom of God. Now I'm talking about here on earth, people. Okay, because some were here, you say the kingdom of God, and they said, well, are you telling me it's messed up there in heaven where God is? No. It's talking about his kingdom here on earth, okay? The kingdom of God here on earth has to be restored. It has to be brought back to its former condition. It has to be brought back to the way that Christ set it up. Amen. It has to be restored. I'm talking about here on earth. Once again, I'm not talking about up in the third heaven where God is. I'm talking about here on earth, okay? That the kingdom of God has to be restored. Amen? Let's look at it a little further. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. We had looked at this once before. We're going to look at this again because this goes with what we're talking about. Daniel chapter 2. Verse 44. And see, remember, King Nebuchadnezzar was given a dream. And, you know, he knew when he woke up from this dream, he knew it meant something. How many of y'all can testify to that today? I know I can't see you. But how many of y'all know, have you ever dreamed a dream you knew it meant something? You didn't know what it meant, but in your spirit, you knew it meant something. And you was at the point like, man, I got to find out what this dream means. Now, you had other dreams that probably interest you or made you curious, but I'm talking about, and I ain't talking about those dreams. Yeah, like I say, all of us have had some dreams that made us kind of go, you know, like they're a wonder, made us a little curious, but we didn't really have a heart to really try to find out what did this mean. But then I'm talking about the dream that you dream and you wake up and you know it meant something, and it's in your spirit, so you say, I got to find out what this thing meant. I mean, this thing stay with you like day and night or constantly with you. It's constantly on your mind. And in your heart, you're trying to search it out, whether you're asking people or looking things up in the Bible or you're going online looking at other Christians and see what they said symbolically about this and that. But it's that dream where you knew that you had to have an answer to what it meant. You understand what I'm saying? Well, this is the kind of dream Nebuchadnezzar had. And so he had this dream, and really he couldn't get nobody to give him the answer. And in fact, he was so serious about it, he let his magician him know, hey, you ain't going to give me, and I'm going to paraphrase it, you ain't going to give me no any kind of answer, because if you do, there'll be consequences, y'all die, okay? So when he comes across Daniel, he's told by Daniel to show you how God was with Daniel. He did not even have to tell Daniel what he dreamed. Daniel told him what he dreamed and then gave him the meaning of the dream. Now, that's some power that God is working with you on. Well, as he was letting King Nebuchadnezzar know, in so many words, say, hey, King, you dreamed about the last days. And he was dreaming about what we're living in now, the last day. And he let him know, say, King, that image you saw was of four kingdoms that was arise and to rule the world. But as we go to verse 44 here, he said, in the days of these kings, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and Babylon was the four kingdoms that was displayed in that image, okay? And Daniel was telling us that in the days of these kings, this is verse 44, Daniel chapter 2, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom. Now remember, when you go to verse 28, he told King Nebuchadnezzar, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make it known to the King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Latter days is also the last days or the end days. In other words, what we're living in now. It's amazing how he had a dream about our day and time. Amen. And about these kingdoms that was to arise in this day and time to take over. But, I do say but on this, verse 44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. So this kingdom that he dreamed about, which God of the heavens shall set up, is the kingdom of God. Now, some people say, wait a minute. When Christ first came, he set up the kingdom. That's true. So how is you saying that he is setting up a kingdom again in the last days? Well, that tells you something happened. That means it has to be what? Restored, okay? And remember, we talked about, I believe, in part two, that in order for restitution and restoration to take place, there has to be a loss, stolen, or taken going on, or something was destroyed. Well, that's what happened, okay? That's what happened after Christ first established the church. That's what happened as Christ first set up his kingdom. Now, for those of you that hear me say that, and you want to quickly rebuttal and say, hey, what are you saying? Would Christ work on or what he do fail? I'm not telling you Christ failed. The people failed. Okay? They got nothing to do with Christ failing. Christ never fails. Okay? He never fails. Just like there are people in hell who once was in Christ. Well, they end up in hell. Well, why they end up? Did that mean Christ fell? No, it didn't. It means that they freely chose to turn away from the true and living God and to go their own separate way. That is what that means, okay? You get what I'm saying? So there is a kingdom to be restored in these last days, and it's the kingdom of God. So in the all things package that we come to understand that is mentioned in Matthew 17 and Acts 3, one of the things is the kingdom of God, okay? Because we are told in Mark 8 that there are things that be of God and there's things that be of man. And so the kingdom of God, once again, here on earth, is to be restored because she went through a destruction. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I know that some of you may not have accepted that. But I want you to understand, all you have to do is look around. There is no way. And if you got scripture to show me otherwise, you show me. There is no way that you can show that Jesus set up Christianity the way we look today. I let you take the Bible, dissect it inside and out, turn it upside down and right side up, turn it from side to side, and you cannot show where Christ set up Christianity the way we look today. There is no way that the Lord Jesus did that. Amen? He just said, because look at us. As I said before, we're like a box of puzzles. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Remember those? I guess they still sell them. I don't see them in stores like I used to anymore. But remember those box of puzzles? Not crossword puzzles now. I'm talking about puzzles in the box where that on the box to show you what the picture is supposed to be. But you open the box, the puzzle's all separated and broken up and all that stuff. You got to put it together. Well, see, that's how we look. And we all claiming to be serving the same God. Well, we serving them kind of funny. And we all claiming to be set up by the Lord Jesus Christ. And only thing we have displayed is a picture of confusion. And we are showing the world that the Lord Jesus Christ, the same one we have been, quote, uplifting to the world, the same one that we've been talking about that can do all things that are possible to him that believe it, in line with the word of God, we have shown him to be a God of confusion. The sinners have that same common question. Why is there so many of y'all, so many churches? If y'all supposed to be under one God, why is there so many? And many of them have talked about, and I understand, where out of that question, they haven't been really given a legit answer. And it seems as though that hardly no one to a degree now, you have a few here and there, but hardly no one to the degree among Christianity really wants to tackle that subject. Because if you honestly tackle that subject, you will have to admit that the way we look is looking pretty bad, okay? We look pretty bad, people. When I say we, I'm talking about the Christian community. Because the sinner man is saying, if you serve the same God, why is there so many different churches? Amen. And so the Lord is showing and giving an answer to you guys who are listening to the question, and all of you don't have this question because everybody's not into the things of God. But to those of you that are into the things of God, who has this question,
Is God settled with the way Christianity look? Is this the way it's supposed to be? Is this the way it's going to end up being? The answer to those questions is N-O, no. And the Lord is restoring, and it's going to be seen how the Lord wants to set up. Right now, many of you are seeing the confusion. And I'm here to give you a word of encouragement. Don't let the confusion dictate. Don't let the confusion tell you that this is how it's going to be. Because I'm here as a man and servant and child of the true and living God to tell you that this is not how it's going to be when it smokes clears. What is going to happen is the kingdom of the living God here on earth is going to be restored, and you're going to see how order really looks. You're going to see how peace really looks. You're going to see how a people come together to be one fold really looks. Right now, you're not really seeing it much because in between the churches, we are fussing and fighting, arguing with one another, against one another, to a point that is not only ridiculous, but it is purely sad. And all of this is because the spirit of separation and the spirit of contention that came about during the time of the early church when she was broken up still lingers today among the Christian community. We don't want to tackle the real true question. Why are you guys not together? Amen. We don't want to tackle that because we have to go into some history. And when the smoke clears, we will have to truthfully admit that there is no way that we're set up the way Christ set things up. And when that happens, now to some of us who especially don't want this, because I'm here to tell you, everybody that's professing to be of God do not want true unity. I'm going to say it again. Everybody that profess of God, everybody's not wanting true unity. Yes, they talking that, but they're not wanting true unity because true overall unity, I'm talking about between Christianity as a whole. I ain't talking about between certain groups. Because see, certain churches would come together in a way to try to eliminate their difference between each other instead of taking what they're teaching and measuring by the word of God, okay? So they would come together like that. So what I'm talking about is there are some who do not want true unity among Christianity. You say, well, why? Because some of the things they got going on, it will wreck their plan. Some of the things they're doing that is not of God will be exposed. If Christianity were to come together to truly be one fold. And so some don't want that because, quote, I got a good thing going on. I'm making pretty good money. I got a pretty good place among the people. And if the Christianity fully come together to be one, that's going to be stopped. Amen. Now, once again, some of y'all may not believe me. You think I'm being far-fetched. I can't convince you otherwise. And it's going to take the Lord to deal with you. But I'm telling you, this is so. This is so. Glory be to God. So I thank God for the blessed word of the Lord. So to those of you who are listening, once again, be encouraged. Be encouraged. I know you said, man, you know, this just sometimes just too much. I get it. I get it. You said, women, now you see it in the churches, some of everything is going on in the church. And you got the things that's not of God becoming brave, rising up and claiming they got churches. Got homosexuals that have churches, homosexual churches. In fact, I haven't seen it, but I've heard
that the homosexuals got something like they own Bible. See, the devil has become more brave because the church have become more scared. Scared to stand on the truth of the word of God. Tell them, be quiet. Don't tell them that. You might scare them. The church has been running around scared for years. And she has become more and more scared. Well, guess what? God is going to have a people that's going to rise up that's not going to be scared. Amen. The church world today in general, I say in general, not every single body, but in general, is in a spirit of fear. She don't want to open her mouth on certain things, especially going on in this nation because she's afraid of the consequences that will have that will come to her. Okay? You got some Christians love their houses and their cars. So they know if they speak on a certain thing, they might get cut off. Because some of them are getting so much money from the church, and they got these big fancy homes and big expensive cars, and they know that some of the stuff going on in the church ain't right, but they're afraid to speak up. Why? Because it's going to get cut off. It's going to get cut off. And they know this. So they value more the things and the things of this world than they do the things of God. And so you find out, because I'm going to tell you something. Many of this stuff, every pastor ain't ignorant of what's going on. Now, sometimes we get imbalanced and we want to say, well, they just don't know. That ain't the case all the time, people. Some of them do know this stuff is wrong. But once again, if the church is furnishing them that BMW or that brand new five-story house with all those rooms, and the church is paying the light bills, which is, ain't no telling, umpteen dollars a month, and you fall in love with it, and you know if you speak on this certain issue, you know how the people in the church are going to be. They're going to cut you off. Then you find them not opening their mouth. I'm telling you, people, please hear this. We're living in a time now that you're going to be challenged concerning your faith in a greater way. And I'm talking about your faith in Christ, not in your car or your house. So my advice right now to you is to get ready in the word, because if you don't, when that challenge hits you real strong, you're going to be more subject to give in. Because remember, the ultimate goal of the enemy is not just destruction, but to get you to worship him. And so wherever your heart is at, whatever your heart is on, he will mess with that to draw you away from Christ. Some people, their heart is on their car, so he'll mess with their cars. He'll bring up a situation where it threatens that they'll take away that car you love so much, that car that the church has been furnishing for you, that sparkling, shining car, that very expensive thousands of dollar car that you wanted to ride down the streets and show everybody to. You know, show it to everybody. Now you see stuff going on in the church and you know it's wrong and you know how the people are, and you're afraid, hey, if I say something, I can't foot these notes by myself. I ain't got a job. I'm depending on the church. And you know you say something, clip. They're going to clip it. But you got to make a decision. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to stop it here today. And Lord say the same. I'll be back next Tuesday on this part here with a part four to this. Amen. Glory be to God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you for another blessed day, another opportunity you've given us to go into your word. And Father, we pray today that all that's been listening was touched by the Spirit of the living God. And Lord, that you would strengthen them and keep them in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you will watch over us, keep us. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, I thank God for all you've been listening. Lord, say the same. I'll be back with another broadcast tomorrow. Look for the advertisement then. So once again, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast, Jesus Word, the Midnight Cry broadcast. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.